Welcome to the DermVet Podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, a board-certified veterinary dermatologist practicing in Portland, Oregon with animal dermatology clinics. I'm also a mom of two, just trying to find the balance like everyone else. Let's learn to ditch the itch, cytology, everything, and make derm more fun than frustrating.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Triple D, Down and Dirty Derm. I have to start out this episode by just thanking all of you. Last week, I took off from the podcast world. And if you follow me on social media, you saw that I lost my 14-year-old terrier mix, my sweet girl Darby. She was the mutt I rescued in my first year of vet school and the one that got me through school, internship, residency, getting married, having kids. So, you know, my constant through 14 years. So my first real pet that I've personally lost and attached to, we actually didn't have a ton of pets growing up since I grew up moving around in the military. So, you know, it was the right thing to do. It was fast, but no doubt the right decision. But as you all know, losing your heart dog or cat or horse or whatever heart pet it is to you is super tough. So all the love that I received through messages and comments meant the world, because truly, you know, this is why we do what we do, because these pets mean so much to us that letting go of them is hard. But the privilege of having 14 years of a lot of pictures and just amazing memories means everything. So thank you. But I am back. I'm here to teach you guys some more dermatology. So today is actually, I'm really passionate about client communication. It's something that's really important, especially right now as we are living through this world of COVID and curbside service. Definitely having to talk to owners a lot without seeing them face to face. Client communication is as important as ever. And there's kind of five tips I want to give you guys really quickly. When I think about how I communicate with owners, it's specifically about allergies and the chronicity and the frustration that goes with that. There's kind of just five, I think, basic ideas that can be helpful when talking to owners. So hopefully you guys will enjoy them and learn a lot. So number one, plant the seed. And what I mean by that is, you know, I don't think necessarily the first year infection a dog gets at one, like you have to run into this crazy long allergy spiel and allergy workup. But what I do think is really important is planting the seed. Say you're going to start them on a treatment for their first skin infection or their first ear infection, you know, treat it and then just say, you know, hey, we're going to get a hold of this ear infection. Let's treat it with this topical therapy. However, we have to be aware that this could be an early sign of allergies developing. So if this happens again, or you see, you know, X, Y, and Z, they start chewing their paws, they start licking, then definitely let me know and bring them in right away. Because if it is allergies, we want to make sure we're figuring out those allergies as quickly as possible to maximize our success long term with managing your pet. So plant the seed. Again, you can do it in a way that's not overwhelming to the owners, but so they know what to watch for and expect versus getting really annoyed or frustrated if you treat the ear infection and then 2 months later it comes back and they just think you didn't treat it well enough. They'll kind of think, oh yeah, maybe this is something like allergies. We better get our pet in so we can figure those out. So not overwhelming, just something to say, hey, let's keep an eye out because this could be the sign of something bigger. Number two, be proactive as far as looking for things like future flares. I find this really helpful with patients I manage because we have really difficult allergic patients, and being able to say, hey, you know, your dog, your cat is doing extremely well right now. That's wonderful. Let's spread out the rechecks. However, flares are bound to happen just like our allergies. We can have certain seasons that, you know, a summer can just be really bad. So even though they're doing well right now, let me know if you notice any licking, chewing, rubbing, shaking of the head that pops up in case we do have a season that we need to address things deeper. And I do this even with my great pets, the ones that have been doing well for a long time. I always end with saying, I'm so glad they're doing well, but let me know if a summer gets ahead of them. So be proactive. It's kind of like planting the seed. It's just really keeping the owner involved in the, you know, what we're watching for and a part of the team. So that they can let you know they're the ones that are the expert for the pet at home and they're the ones that bring them in. So we want to set up the expectation of what we're looking for. Number three, empathize with the owner and relate to the owner. So, you know, I like to tell owners when we're talking about allergies, and I like to say, you know, allergies are not fatal. I mean, for the most part, unless they choose to have to make a decision because the pet's doing really bad, but it's super duper rare. But I like to say allergies are not fatal, but they're extremely frustrating. Just letting the owners know, yes, chronic allergies are super frustrating. Like, sure, it's not some crazy cancer we're dealing with, but you know, there's studies showing that quality of life is affected if there's an itchy pet in the home. So if they're having a really bad time, you know, I'll relate with them. You know, the pollens have been really bad this year, or man, we've just had a lot of dogs struggling this summer. A lot of, you know, pododermatitis and a lot of ear infections. It just seems like it's been a really bad summer. Let's get you in for a recheck. Let's see what's going on and get ahead of it the best we can, because it just seems like there's something in the air causing a lot of pets to have issues. And that can really help owners just to know they're not the only ones. This has been exceptionally bad. If something doesn't work, I'll say, man, you know, we just needed a starting point with the first medication we tried. If that's not the one that's going to be effective for your pet, let's move on, because that's really frustrating to spend money on something that's not going to be helpful. So just really empathizing and relating to them, I find can be really helpful. As you know, as veterinarians, we're often, you know, half a counselor, half a doctor. So just really making them aware that it's not just their pet. Allergies are tough. Some cases are easier than others. Some seasons are better than others. And then that can really help them get on board with the plan to move forward with something else. Number four, do what is possible. Yes, there's lots of things I can write down on home cares. When I think of what is possible, there's kind of two things that mainly come to mind: topical therapy and diet trials. I love both of those things. But we have to do it in a way that we know is actually going to happen and is possible. I can write a gazillion things down on the home care instructions. It doesn't mean anything unless that owner can do it. So when I'm setting them up with a bathing protocol or using wipes on the paws, we'll talk about it and the importance of it, removing pollens from the skin, treating or helping to prevent infection. But then I ask the owner, can you do that? Do you feel comfortable with that? Like, can you bathe this often? Can you touch the paws, or does the pet like try to bite them every time they wipe the paws? Do they have a bad back and bathing's really difficult for them right now? If we're talking about diet trials, do they have kids in the house? I have a 1 and 3 year old at home right now. I likely could not do a successful diet trial right now. Is it December 5th and Christmas is coming up and we know that grandma and grandpa are going to come stay at the house, and there is no way, no matter how much you tell them, they are not going to give treats or table scraps. We have to do what is possible for the owner, not just financially, but what they can actually accomplish at home. So don't set them up with 10 things to do if we know that they're crazy and busy and travel and have family and they can't realistically do that. You know, start with what's realistic, and then on recheck, we can kind of figure out what's working, what could be worth adding into the protocol if we're not better. So I think it's really important to check in with owners and make sure they can actually do it. My last kind of tip that I use with some owners is I find it really helpful to relate things to what people go through. And what I mean by that, and surely if you go to the immunology and break it down, these are not going to be perfect examples, but I think it's enough of an example people can think of a person or a kid that they know going through this. So for example, if we're talking about food allergies, and owners don't think just giving, you know, a tiny nugget of chicken really ruins the diet trial, all related to a peanut allergy child. So, you know, kids with peanut allergies, it just takes a little residue for them to have a big reaction. Same thing with explaining the importance of prescription diets during a diet trial. you know, it, just like a kid can't have a candy bar that says this was made in a facility that also contains nuts, the prescription diets have extra testing to make sure there's no, you know, other proteins in it that could trigger their allergies. For flea allergy, I relate it to a person with an insect hypersensitivity. So if you get stung by a bee and I get stung by a bee, you have a hypersensitivity to bees and I do not. Our bodies react very differently to that. It doesn't mean that you got stung by 100 bees and I got stung by only one. It just means that simple exposure caused our bodies to react differently. Again, I know it's not a perfect, probably immunologic example, but it's a real life example that people can understand. Hey, maybe my pet is allergic, even though I'm not seeing fleas, or, you know, maybe I shouldn't be giving their pills and a tiny bit of hot dog, even if it doesn't seem like a big deal. So I hope that's helpful. So kind of to reiterate, one, plant the seed right away as soon as you see the first ear, skin infection, or sign of allergies that we might have to think about what's happening in our future. Two, be proactive, warn owners about potential flares, even if they're doing well. Three, empathize and relate. Make sure that you're acknowledging that allergies are frustrating and that that's okay, but we'll still work through it. Four, do what is possible for that owner. And five, if they're really struggling to wrap their head around something, relate it to what people can go through in similar situations, because they probably have a person in their life that they can relate that with. I hope that is helpful. Thank you guys again for all the love and support and for your continued support and listening of this podcast. Until next time, I hope that you will learn these tips and tricks to communicate better with your owners.